This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Dustin Yard and you're listening to the In the News podcast, where we bring you all the major headlines from India and around the world. Today we begin with news from the RBI's Monetary Policy Committee meeting, where the central bank decided to keep the repo rate unchanged while at the same time lowering its GDP forecast to 5% from 6.1%. Former Finance Minister P. Chidambaram held a press conference just a day after being released on bail, where he slammed the current government for the economic slowdown, saying they are incapable of fixing the current situation. PNB accused Nirav Modi has been declared a fugitive economic offender under a new act which enables the Enforcement Directorate to begin confiscating his properties in India, the UK and UAE. And lastly, a rape survivor was set on fire in Unnao while on a way to court. Just a day after being released on bail in the INX media case, former Finance Minister and Senior Congress leader P. Chidambaram addressed a press conference slamming the Modi government. To bring us all the updates from that press conference, we have Shraddha Sharma joining us on the podcast. Well, Shraddha, what were the major points made by Chidambaram in his press conference?
Hi, Justin. So basically, Chidambaram said that this government is clueless about the economy, so they won't be able to correct because they don't know what is wrong with the economy, is all in all what he said in the conference. I'll just put the quotes what he actually said. As he recently got released from the Tihar jail on bail from the INX media money laundering case, he was part of a press conference today and he said that the government is wrong because it is clueless. Unable to look, you know, at the obvious clues because it is stubborn and defending its own mistakes. And all the mistakes that he mentioned involves demonetization, GST, tax terrorism, and, you know, centralized decision making from the Prime Minister's office, he mentioned, are the major problems. And he also asked the journalist to actually, you know, reflect on each of the charges that he has made. And he will extensively write and give interviews on the issues that he has mentioned in the days to come. And he also said, you know, summing up his claims, he said 8.7, 6.5, 5.8, 5 and 4.5, these are actually the quarterly GDP numbers which have actually gone down from 8 to 4.5 percent. We recently got the GDP numbers which were as low as 4.5%, lowest in the last 6 years. So he said with that we will be lucky to end the year if the growth touches 5%. And he also said that Dr. Arvind Subramaniam's statement that 5% under this government because of changing the methodology is not really 5% but less by about 1.5%. So according to what he said, it could also mean that it's not actually 4.5% but 3%. According to Dr. Subramaniam's statement. So he was also very, you know, he also said that the Prime Minister has been silent on the economy and his ministers usually, you know, do all this bluff when he has to speak to the media on the issue of the economy. And the net result, as the economist put it, is that the government has turned out to be an incompetent manager of the economy, is what Chidambaram said, and I quote him. He also slammed the government for calling the present economic slowdown cyclical. You know, he also kind of laughed it off, saying that thank God they did not call it seasonal. And so it's structural and the government has no solution or reforms because they don't know what the problem is.
Well, Shraddha, something everybody has been talking about is the current crisis with regards to the food inflation. Did Mr. Chidambaram say anything about that too?
Yeah, he really mentioned the onions that are selling at 100 rupees and he was actually very quick to make the remark when Nirmala Sitharaman recently said that, you know, I do not eat a lot of onions and garlics. My family doesn't. And then he said that, is she eating avocado? So that was the, you know, mention that happened. But apart from that, he actually mentioned the other things, the FMCG selling less, the wholesale pricing up, CPI going up. So all of that was mentioned and he was, you know, he mentioned that, you know, till the demand is not rising, the investments not going up, Because people have less money and less appetite to consume. So till then, we won't see anything, you know, actually becoming better.
PNB case accused Nirav Modi has been declared a fugitive economic offender by a Special Prevention of Money Laundering Act court. To tell us more on this, we have Shraddha joining us back on the podcast. Well, Shraddha, firstly, can you tell us something about this Fugitive Economic Offender or FEO Act, and how does this change things for Nirav Modi?
So, the 2018 Act, that is the Fugitive Economic Offenders Act, is basically act by the Parliament of India that seeks to confiscate the property of these economic offenders, and since they're trying to evade persecution by not being in the country's jurisdiction. Hmm. So they can actually confiscate the assets of these offenders. So we know that Nirav Modi is the second businessman after Vijay Mallya to be declared a fugitive economic offender under this act. And this was actually declared today. This was actually declared today for the PNB scam that happened, and it's basically order to confiscate his property, and it will be carried off soon because he is in London after the court hearing where the extradition is pending.
Well, for the benefit of our listeners, Shraddha, could you give us a quick recap on the entire PNB fraud case?
Right, we discussed it yesterday as well. So the PNB fraud basically happened because of the issuance of fraudulent letter of undertakings. And yesterday, I think I mentioned letter of understanding. So it's LOUs, letter of undertakings, that caused a lot of loss to the bank, which costs over $2 billion. And so, you know how the banking system works? It's kind of a guarantee. And that was fraudulently issued in the case of Nirav Modi.
Well, thanks for bringing us all those updates, Shraddha.
Thank you, Dustin, for having me.
In yet another shocking story on violence against women, a rape survivor in Unnao was set on fire whilst on her way to court. To tell us more about this, we have M. Saraswati joining us on the podcast. Well, Saraswati, could you fill us in on the details regarding this case?
So, Dustin, basically, this victim had a complaint against their two accused in March, and what had happened was the case was ongoing, and apparently at 4 a.m. she was on the way to the court for the trial, and she was set on fire. Now, despite the fact that people could see that she has been set ablaze, she had to run almost 1 kilometer because she could not reach the police, she could not reach anyone else. And she has already sustained 90% burns, and it's in a very critical condition. So we are not too sure whether she will be able to survive, because doctors have also said that survival chances are low. So, I mean, this is not the first such cases, but of course.
Well, since we did mention it's not the first such case, there have been instances right in the past in this very state where rape survivors have been targeted by the accused.
That's right, Justin. You know, in Unnao as well, we remember of that high-profile case where a party leader has been allegedly involved in the crime. So that 17-year-old Unnao rape case that had happened, in July last year, when the victim as well as the entire family was on her way to court, there was a truck that rammed the vehicle, and she is already in a critical condition. Two of her aunts had already passed away, and her father, of course, had died earlier as well. So there have been these targeted attempts to kind of silence, the rape victims and ensure that they do not take the legal route.
Well, most of these cases seem rather blatant, Saraswati. What do you think the authorities can do to curb this violence?
So, all the National Crime Records Bureau, of course, shows that, a woman is raped every 15 minutes in the country. And data has shown that there were almost 33,600 such rape cases that had happened 2 years back, which is the latest data. Now, there have been a slew of measures which the government has suggested. First, of course, is, the Nirbhaya Fund that was set up as early as after the Delhi rape case in 2012, which had kind of shocked the entire nation, where a lady was raped as well as murdered. So after that, when the Nirbhaya Fund was set up and there was almost 3,200 crore corpus that was set up for the purpose, there has been very little utilization of this fund. So this could be one such area where, there could be some work that could be done in terms of utilizing the fund for right purpose, in terms of, having more lights set up all across the country, or having more police personnel, especially for protection of women across the country, or having using the fund to have these special fast track courts to ensure that there is speedier justice, so that, you know, when there are cases or when there is police protection as well for some of these victims, so that they are also not threatened or they are not subject to such assaults in the future.
Well, lastly, Saraswati, just to bring us back to this case, what about the status of the accused right now? I believe one of them was actually released on bail before this crime could take place again.
That's right. One of the accused was released on bail on certain conditions because there were some loopholes in the way the whole proceedings had gone on in this case, which is why this opportunity was used by the accused to kind of, you know, attack the victim while the victim was kind of out. Now, there have been suggestions wherein people have said that, especially for cases under POSCO or where minor women or children have been raped, there should be a provision wherein bail or parole should not be granted to such accused, or there should be like a 24-hour surveillance on such accused so that they do not indulge in such activities. Because as far as, you know, things like punishment is concerned, we know that the conviction rates in India are very low and such cases go on dragging for years, and only one in four such accused are convicted. So it's we need to ensure that these accused are also tracked 24/7 to ensure that even if they are given a parole or a bail for some special circumstances, such cases do not take up.
So they have been arrested already, these people?
Yeah, they have been arrested, but then of course since the victim is now critical, we don't know how the case will pan out because she was the only witness in the case.
Well, thanks for bringing us all those updates, Saraswati, and we hope justice is served sooner rather than later.
Thanks, Dustin.
And now a word on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app. The offer is available on Android and the web.
That brings us to the end of this segment of In the News. If you'd like to comment on our podcast or any of the topics covered in it, feel free to email us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and other updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thanks for listening.